Blog Talk Radio.
Fellow Americans, it is with the utmost pride and sincerity that I present this recording as a living testament and recollection of history in the making during our generation.
Allow me to reintroduce myself.
My name is Dr. Dre.
Yeah. Sir Robert Fortune.
Okay, we get it. Start the show.
Yes, sir.
It's time.
Brings back memories. Yes, sir. We are officially talking sports with the 12th man. Hey, Rob, this brings back a little of the old school times here whenever we were doing this back in the day, just us two. I think JQ is going to be joining us shortly. Apparently, Gary's having too many margaritas in America and, just going to send out our prayers to Curtis, too. That was pretty funny how we sent in text prior to the show how I don't think I'm going to make it, gentlemen. You don't want to hear me talking about how much I hate the Patriots. So it was just I don't know if it was joking or something.
Well, whatever else he might say on top of that, too, right?
Yeah. So I'm going to kind of let him have a nice another week off, if you will. But, the crew is always welcome. And, hopefully we'll catch you guys next week again. So we're ready to talk some sports. We got a lot of things to discuss. Like we talked about, we had a nice little week off for spring break. Rob had some time to get kind of caught up, if you will, a lot of meetings. And so here we are. So really quickly, without the numbers, we'll jump right into it, Rob, because I know we got a lot of things to discuss. The numbers call the show. It's always the same number, the 424-243-9519. Follow us on Twitter, which is obviously at the number 12, THMAN Sports. And last but not least, go to facebook.com/talkingsportsthe12thman. You'll get a chance to see all of our updates there. Obviously Rob posts mock drafts, anything relevant to what's happening right now, we're going to post that on the page, as well as updates, as always, pictures, all that fun stuff, shenanigans, whatever you want to call that. We're having a good time too. So without further ado, Rob, let's kind of bring this back too. So we can save the Baker Mayfield stuff and the Browns for JQ if you'd like. Nothing would bring more joy to hear him talk about another team in his division. Even more than Pittsburgh, so we can kind of table that if you want. Or we can talk a little bit about that. And then, obviously, we're going to talk about the mock draft here. It's getting, we got a couple more weeks out. We talk about all the smoke screens that teams are sending out there. But I will say this has been a very, very interesting offseason for free agency and all the trades that have been happening, too. So NFL is always king. We got to talk about some NBA playoffs and playing games. A lot of things to talk. Obviously, my Hawks won. Your Pelicans are in the game right now, too. So, sir, let's kind of fire this off, if you will.
Yeah, we'll start with the draft. And, I'll start with our teams. To our listeners out there, if you go to our Talking Sports with the 12th Man Facebook page, the latest three-round mock draft is posted. We only got about 2 weeks before the actual draft on Thursday the 28th. And before the draft, I will have a six-round mock draft. That I will have before the actual draft. So for our listeners out there, stay tuned. Continue to follow us on Talking Sports with the 12th Man on our Facebook page. Uh-huh. Like I said, my recent one was a three-round mock, but I will have a six-round mock prior to the draft. So stay tuned for that. A lot of movement that's taking place, a lot of pro days and visits and things of that nature. So there's going to be a lot of movement prior to the draft. So I'm going to talk about the fans of our team here, Atlanta, the Saints, mm-hmm. Dallas, and Cincinnati. So I'll start with Dre's Falcons. I got him taking Garrett Wilson, who's right now moved up to the top of the wide receiver board in the draft. It may not even be available at 8. I mean, he's in the conversation right now at 4 and 5 right now. So he's moving up
really?
The draft. As the wide receiver position is at an all-time high. You talk about, football, you always talk about quarterback, you talk about left tackle, you talk about a pass rusher, mm-hmm. you talk about cornerback. as being the four most important positions in football. But wide receiver is shooting up the boards as far as being an important position. Everybody's looking for somebody to cause havoc against the defense right now. So you see the way these wide receivers are making money right now. And so it's becoming a very imperative position on football teams. And obviously with the Falcons losing Russell Gage to the Bucks, and then, of course, Calvin Ridley suspended for a season. So I have the Falcons taking Garrett Wilson there in the first round. I got him coming back. Well, they have two picks in the second round. I got him coming back and taking Nick Petit-Ferrier, offensive tackle from Ohio State, who could also play some guard. He's a guy that could probably come in and potentially be a starter also on day one. I got the Falcons taking another receiver in the second round, too, Wandale Robinson.
Yeah.
He's a guy that can play the slot. He's got great speed. He can help you in a return game, too. Like I say, you just lost two receivers, so you're probably going to need a couple of receivers. So I got them taking two wide receivers out of the first three picks, and Garrett Wilson and Wandale Robinson will probably come in rookies and compete. In the third round, I got the Falcons taking Kirby Joseph, safety from Illinois, and Chad Mumba, linebacker from Wyoming. So that rounds out the five picks that the Falcons have in the first three rounds. My beloved Saints, I got to take a Matt Corral, quarterback from Ole Miss, in the first round, and also Drake London, wide receiver from USC in the first round. Out of the Saints, have two picks. There's some rumors that the Saints may possibly move up with those two picks. But personally, I think the Saints has a lot of needs and probably should, you know, stand pat or even trade back some to get some more picks. I got the Saints taking Daniel Falele, offensive tackle from Minnesota. Big guy, about 6'8", 370 pounds. Very athletic for a guy that big. Have them taking him in the second round, offensive tackle from Minnesota. And in the third round, I have the Saints taking Zamir White, running back from Georgia. Still don't know what Kamara situation is like. So you're going to need some depth. You're going to need some depth at the running back position. The Cowboys, they got to take in Trent McDuffie, defensive back from Washington in the first round. Listed as a corner, but he's a guy, in my opinion, that can also play some safety for you. The free safety position reminds me a lot of a young Tyrann Mathieu. A guy who's just a ball hawk, just around the football field. He can actually rush the pass or some too. So he's just a guy that just creates havoc. The Cowboys taking Josh Pascal, edge rusher from Kentucky. Obviously, they lost Randy Gregory. They got him taking the edge rusher in the second round. And then Isaiah Spiller in the third round, a guy that can catch the ball out of the backfield. Texas A&M going to have Dallas picking him in the third round. Zeke Elliott, in my opinion, I know we've debated about this. I think he's losing a step of three. You're going to need some depth. You're going to need some depth at that running back position, and that's the Cowboys take him in the third round. Go to JQ's Bengals. I got him taking Logan Hall, defensive tackle from Houston. The perfect three-technique defensive tackle that can play the run in. Create some havoc in the passing game, too, up the middle. Houston has been putting out some really good defensive linemen here over the last 5 years. And here they have another guy potentially going in the first round. I got Cincinnati taking Trey McBride, giving Joe Burrow another weapon, who might be the best tight end in the draft. Trey McBride, tight end from Colorado State. Having taken him in the second round, giving Burrow another weapon. Obviously, they shored up that offensive line a little bit. And just adds another weapon to their offense there. And then in the third round, I have them getting some depth on that offensive line. Luke Godeek, offensive guard from Central Michigan. He's a guy that in long term could be a starter for you too. But it gives you some depth on that offensive line. When you have a franchise quarterback, you want to make sure you got at least six or seven of good offensive linemen on that team. You got to protect the franchise.
That's right.
And so having a guy like that go in the third round will be a good pickup for the Bengals.
Yeah, can y'all hear me okay?
Good stuff, Rob.
Yeah. Nope, we can hear you.
Background, but we got you. Yeah, good. What you got?
All right. Oh, I'm sorry. Well, my only concern is
I think they have to go with the defensive backfield, the only because you look around the AFC and what's happening with the quarterbacks and the wide receivers. That I feel like that I think it's Edel, the cornerback from Florida, that they've been linked to in a whole lot of mock drafts.
Yeah, yeah.
I really feel like that they are going to address that defensive secondary pretty early in the draft, only because the AFC is completely loaded, and you can't have Eli Apple doing Eli Apple things. So I worry about them waiting too long to get a cornerback. But outside of that, I get it. You know, they do need a defensive tackle, they need a defensive end. I feel like with the weapons they have, I would love to get Burrow more weapons. But it depends on how the draft falls to you, if you stay true to your draft board, of course. But I would love to see them stay on the defensive side of the ball, because I feel like what he has on offense, they can make work. But they've got to find a way to slow down these other offenses now in the AFC that we've seen them, you know, pick up here in the offseason.
Yeah. Yeah, it's a good thought on Elam, too, as well. He's back in the first-round conversation. There was some conversation of him falling to the second, but it seems as though he's worked his way back up into the first-round conversation. I have Elam going 25 to Buffalo right now. But, you know, it's still in that range, so he could definitely very well possibly be available for Cincinnati. Another guy that could possibly be available for Cincinnati in the first round is Andrew Booth, cornerback from Clemson. I got him going 29 at Kansas City right now. So those are two cornerbacks within that range that could possibly fall to 31. But right now I have him going 25 and 29, but those are definitely two cornerbacks within that range. And you look at the second round, Alante Taylor, cornerback from Tennessee. I have him going 52 to Pittsburgh right now. And Roger McCreary, cornerback from Auburn, I got him 47 to Washington. So, you know, there's a chance that one of those guys could be available.
Well, I wonder, because McCreary was, you know, a couple of drafts, mock drafts ago, he was in the first round. Now he's already in the back of the second round. I haven't been following his, pro days as close as I probably should have. So I just find it interesting he's fallen that far in the draft to go from the background of the first to the back of the second.
Yeah, I think he, you know, right now, like I'm going to kind of in the middle of the second round. I think he could be somewhere in that, right now I got him going 47, which is kind of somewhere in the middle of the second. You know, he could potentially still be, top of the second round. And, you know, depending on how well the team likes him, you never know. He may still creep up to the first. But I got him going 47 to Washington right now.
Gotcha. Cool. Good stuff. I appreciate you, Rob.
Tyler Garden, cornerback from Washington, is another one to watch, too.
Yep.
Yeah, Rob did a great job of putting together, you know, the draft like we talked about. Again, definitely check out the Talking Sports with the 12-man page, because he posted that three-round mock. We're going to post he said he's going to post the six-round mock pretty soon here. Talked about the Falcons, Rob.
Wow.
You know, thank you for he's been awesome. Thank you for that with the Falcons. I'm kind of torn, right, because I think everyone knows that we need a wide receiver, but I really think this is a deep wide receiver draft, so I think you can afford to wait and kind of get an impact receiver too. I'm kind of looking at, like, edge or, like, you know, that D-tackle position, and I know it's very high to get, like, a Jordan Davis or, like, a Jermaine Johnson, but I think that's kind of I don't know that that's the direction they're kind of going. This is the same thing. We had no idea who they're thinking. We kind of knew they were getting Kyle Pitts, but, you know, I'm not really sure what the Falcons are thinking from this instance, too. I know they've been silently adding a lot of good pieces to their depth. You know, for offensive line, they've added, you know, Anthony Fisker, tight end from Tennessee. They added Rashad Evans, the linebacker. Uh-huh. They're doing some really good moves, if you will. And obviously, Auden Tate from your Bengals, believe it or not, Demaryius Byrd from the Bears. We're getting these interesting little picks. I'm not saying that they're number one wide receivers, but quietly we're kind of getting, you know, some stuff to the to the roster. But for me, you know, I'm thinking that if there's not a trade back, we're going to kind of talk about what happened with, you know, Pittsburgh and the sad news about Dwayne Haskins, I think they're definitely in the market for quarterbacks who they may be targeting, you know, Malik Willis or whatever, because I know they really, really like that guy. There's also been reports that the Panthers are thinking about trading down too, which I think is the smoke screens. But
brilliant.
Just for the Falcons.
It's brilliant for the Panthers because they traded all those other picks to get Sam Darnold, and I forget who the other one is. So they had that first pick in the first round. They don't pick again until like 137. Yep. So for if you're Carolina, I see getting picking, you know, draft trading back to get more picks. But the thing about with the Falcons is everybody said that also about Ja'Marr Chase, right? Like, whoa, you need Sewell. And they take Chase and he changes things. So if you get that guy with, you know, Kyle that changes things, and, you know, like you said, y'all made some quiet second and third wave kind of picks with a quarterback that might come free, or you get another the quarterback in this better quarterback draft next year, and you pair them with all these with these weapons, you get that guy. I'm not saying it's Olave or Garrett Wilson, but if you hit on that pick with Kyle Pitts, it's like, now they got that, those two dudes, and I can give them this quarterback, and I can get a running back in the second or third round in this draft or next draft, and it puts the Falcons on a greater pace. So cause it's not like the first time the offensive line was great. Clearly, it wasn't. It was terrible. So think about it that way as well. When people get upset about the Falcons taking the wide receiver, if you get that wide receiver and you hit,
I'm not upset.
And you have him with Kyle Pitts, it's like, woo.
Yeah.
Again, like I said, I'm not upset about the wide receiver pick, and I'll let you Rob speak too. I'm just saying that, again, I just think it's such a deeper draft too, like a George Pickens or Christian White. That's just me on thinking that too. Now, like I said, again, unless you have a Ja'Marr Chase in this draft, I don't know, because Ja'Marr Chase, that dude was electric. I don't know if there's a Ja'Marr Chase in this draft. If there is,
that's a conversation.
Because, you know, Garrett
Wilson, the problem you run into, is the fact that all these wide receivers are getting paid. So all this deep wide receiver draft, I think it's a lot of, like you said, smoke screen of people, a whole lot of people trying to take wide receivers because, like, if I can get this dude in the draft and I got to pay him $35 million a year for another 4 or 5 years, let me go ahead and get him right now. So I'm really interested to see how many wide receivers go in this first round, given all these mammoth wide receiver contracts. Because I know it's the GMs and some salary cap people that are like, bro, we need to get us a young wide receiver so we don't have to pay him for 3 or 4 years. And all the wide receiver draft stuff, whatever. We're going to get us one.
Well, you know, right before you joined the call, JQ, one of the things you were talking about was that the wide, you know, in football, historically, it was all about the quarterback and the left tackle and the edge rusher and the cornerback. But now the wide receivers has moved up the echelon as far as importance when it comes to the game of football. Everybody's looking for that weapon to be able to stretch a defense, and then you start to deal with these contracts. And, you know, Garrett Wilson – you know, listening to a lot of scouts, you know, with Garrett Wilson here, a lot of people think he's going to be the next Devontae Adams. I mean, they think he's got has that kind of potential. And he's not definitely big. Moved up into the number one spot as far as receiver in this draft. So, if he turns out to be a Devontae Adams, he's definitely worth that pick. I mean, I got him going number 8 right now, but, you know, he could very well go number 4, number 5. Or Carolina trades back even to number 6 spot. I think Carolina wants to draft a quarterback, but I don't think they want to draft one at 6. I think they're going to move back and maybe still get a quarterback. I mean, I think I have them taking Kenny Pickett right now at 6. And Kenny Pickett may very well be their guy, but they want to fall back and possibly still be able to get him as well as get some additional picks there. You know, if you're in Atlanta, you may have to come out of this draft with 2 wide receivers, and I got them with 2 in this mock.
I'm down with that.
You got them taking 1 in the first round. You got them taking 1 in the second round. But there are a lot of options, like you mentioned. You know, you got Jameson Williams. I have him going 15 to Philadelphia. I have Drake London going 18 in New Orleans. I got Chris Olave going 23 to Arizona. Treylon Burks going 26 to Tennessee. And then you still got Christian Watson, Johan Dotson from Penn State.
I like that.
So,
you got George Pickens.
You got Olave going 23rd?
Got, you know, huh?
Wow. I said you got Olave going 23rd? Wow. I would be shocked if he lasted the 23rd. Not saying it can't happen, but that dude is a route runner. He's ridiculous. This draft is going to be so fast, and I don't mean to interrupt. I'm sorry. You guys go ahead. I don't mean to jump in and mess it up.
No,
but a lot of it going 23rd is that I would really be shocked. Someone would have to come up. I would be shocked if he fell to 23rd.
Yeah. Well, that's another sleeper guy, Sky Moore from Western Michigan. I mean, this guy is a – I mean, he shined at the Senior Bowl. You look at his tape. I mean – he's yak waiting to happen. He's always getting yards after the catch. A lot of people are comparing him to Tariq Hill. You know, he's got, you know, that kind of size. He's kind of same size as Tariq Hill. Could be a real sleeper pick in this draft. I got him going in the second round of Denver right now. But, you know, he could be a really steal in this draft right now, too. So he's another wide receiver. As Ray mentioned, this is a deep wide receiver class. Alec Pierce from Cincinnati. This guy's got great length, great hands. He's another one that's going to be there. I have him going in the second round of Green Bay right now, Alec Pierce. He's another guy.
Send them all to the NFC. Please don't let Russell Wilson get that news. No.
Yeah. But it's JQ is hilarious. But, Robin, what about the Cooper Kupp of the world, too? Because you got to think about, you know, Cooper Kupp made a huge,
round pick
for the Rams Super Bowl. So it's like, you know, there's some spot type receivers that, you know, again, that's the question that we have. Again, you know, we were talking earlier, JQ, about intangibles. Certainly, huge can't teach. You know, you pick certain players and you miss because, you know, a player like we're talking NBA with, you know, Jose Alvarado, but you just based on certain things. Like, this player has more heart or something like that, too. And with Garrett Wilson, and you have a better, you know, eye for him, JQ, because sometimes you hear some reports about, well, he was playing, you know, in the Big Ten where, you know, the defense wasn't that great, so he's just getting, you know, open because of that. So you kind of hear that side. And you also hear, well, you know, you don't really know who to trust. And, you know, then you hear, like Rob just said, you know, he's, you know, compared to, you know, Devontae Adams. Like, if he's compared to Devontae, that's like you said. But for me, for Dre, like I said, I was on the Jamar Chase band. I'm like, man, that dude, unless I see something like that, I don't know. You know, again, I know it's kind of, he's once in a generational type of situation, but, you know, it's just, you have to kind of be lucky to get something like that, if you will, too. So, I don't know. I'm just saying.
You know, the thing that Jamar Chase that really helped him out a lot is that you saw him just drilling NFL corners in college. And, I mean, that just showed you that he was going to be an elite prospect.
He was a freshman, though.
Yeah.
He was still close as a he ate up A.J. Terrell. I'm like, oh, that dude is.
Mm-hmm.
We got him like, that's not good. I'm like, I'd rather have him with
But not only A.J. Terrell, the cornerback from the Cowboys.
Yeah, Patrick Sertain. Yeah, he ate him up, too. He ate up everybody.
Alabama ate him, too.
Not only Sertain, the guy that had all the interceptions for the Cowboys.
Diggs.
Yeah, Diggs.
Oh, man, he was eating Diggs' lunch. I mean, he was killing Diggs. And Diggs turned out to be an all-pro defensive back for the Cowboys. But Diggs could not stop Chase in college. Could not stop him or slow him down. And, you know, some other wide receivers, you talk about wide receivers in the third round, Cooper Kupp, Tariq Hill, you know, a couple of guys to watch in the third round. I got John Michi the third, who got hurt at Alabama.
John Michi, that's
Break too. He could possibly sneak into the second round, depending on how well he's recovering, but I got him going to the third right now. And David Bell from Purdue, so JQ probably seen a lot of watching Big Ten football. He's another guy that could be a sleeper in the third round, David Bell. But you got in rounds one and two, you got a lot of really good receiver prospects in this draft in rounds one and two.
Yeah, we talked about that, how it's changing and how all those big contracts have come through now, and then we're at an interesting situation. You have just a deep draft too, so. You know, it's kind of pick your flavor from that perspective, too. So, like I said, I agree with JQ that I'm very interested to see what happens in this in the draft to see how kind of pieces fall, if you will, too, man. Because Chris Olave says that, you know, goes 23rd, man. JQ, we were going to let you speak how much you love the Cleveland Browns about Baker Mayfield, if you will. So I don't know if you want to talk a little bit about that and kind of piggyback on that. If you'd like, and then we're going to talk about some trade partners with Green Bay and Derek Carr, will too. So there you go. There you go.
Well, I mean, we talked about it right a couple of weeks ago, and I was just very like, wow, you know, in terms of how far Baker Mayfield has still, and then you know, with the injuries as well. Like, there was a time where he played really good ball, and he went to Pittsburgh and beat the brakes off of Pittsburgh in a playoff game, right? So you know, his stock falling that far. I just don't want him to see him go to Pittsburgh. And I feel like Pittsburgh is just sitting there waiting and waiting and waiting and waiting on Cleveland to have to cut him. And I don't know what they're going to do because they don't want that. And I've told you that plenty of times before. They can talk all the junk they want to talk. about Baker Mayfield, but they do not want to see Baker Mayfield stay in the division and have to deal with that dude. So I saw that interview where he felt like he was disrespected. And if you're the number one overall pick and your team, you know, you play hurt for them and your play suffer because you was hurt, and then they go give a dude $230 million guaranteed and they don't even have a trade partner for you yet, I feel like you should feel a little disrespected. And he's a dude that plays better with a chip on his shoulder, right? I really feel like he does. That's what I was like. Yeah. They don't want to see that happen. So it's going to be interesting to see what happens with Baker. I feel like they're just going to be like, just give us a 6 or 7 round pick. Put in the NFC, whoever wants to come get him. If he wants to sit behind Tom Brady in Tampa Bay, cool. If Seattle wants him to sit behind, you know, our challenge, you know, Drew Lock for the job, cool. I just don't see them releasing him. I just don't see them trading him in the AFC. I really don't. They do not want Baker Mayfield to be a problem for them. They do not want to see Baker Mayfield beat Deshaun Watson in a big game. They do not want to see that. And I'm not saying it's going to happen, but they don't want to see. They don't want that possibility to arise because all the pressure then is on Cleveland if they have to play Team X that has Baker in the AFC against Deshaun Watson. Cleveland doesn't want that. So I'm really interested to see how that's going to play out.
You know, I think we talked. Yeah, you're right, JQ. I know. We talked about this a couple of weeks ago, I believe, on the show. But I think the Browns is going to be as patient as they possibly can in this situation. I don't think they're in any rush. I mean, they have Deshaun Watson, right? So they're set for now and the future, practically at the quarterback position. Obviously, you know, he might be suspended a few games or so. We don't know what that looks like just yet. But I think Cleveland is going to be as patient as possible. I think they even wait to see how the preseason goes. You know, you get the preseason teams, the teams, if they don't get the deal that they want, I think they play this all the way out to the preseason, and teams at that point are going to know what they have, and somebody's going to get desperate to reach out for them. So I think unless somebody comes with a great offer for Baker, I think Cleveland stays as patient as possible. They wait all the way to training camp or two, three, or four games. I don't even know how many preseason games we have now. Two or three. I forgot.
Three now.
Are we shortening it, right? Three, yeah, that's right. We got 17 regular season games. But, yeah, they wait to two or three games into the preseason or right before the season starts. I think they play this out as patient as they possibly can until a team gets desperate or unless somebody comes with a deal they can't refuse right now.
I totally agree because they got the calorie space to do it, to hold on to him. You know, they're going to say, you know, we're not in a position to have to panic. But I just don't think I will go on record to say that they don't cut Baker Mayfield, right? They'll tell Baker, they'll give him that John Wall treatment, right? We'll pay you a contract. Mm-hmm. You just stay at home. Don't get hurt. Chill out. We're going to trade you somewhere. I just don't see them cutting him because they don't want to let Baker be able to choose this spot because I feel like Baker is vindictive enough to try to figure out where he can go to put as much pain on the Cleveland Browns as he possibly can. And they don't want that.
Oh, man. You talk about the irony of irony.
Yeah, I agree. I don't think they're going to cut him.
That would be like must-see TV. That would be must-see. If he goes to Pittsburgh, that would be like must. But he's like, yo, autoplay, circle that. Circle that. I'm going to torment them for the rest of my life.
Yeah.
Oh,
and they don't want that.
No, man, that's interesting. Like you said, I agree with both of you guys about that. You know, the Browns definitely are in that position too. And Baker, you know, like you talked about, just kind of an interesting scenario too, a situation where the Browns haven't quite got that quarterback stuff. We'll see what happens with Deshaun Watson too, man. So just, you know, trying to figure that out. Let's talk about another interesting quarterback here. Derek Carr gets an extension with the Raiders. And, Rob, what's the French toast, man? I mean, you talk about this deal. He's keeping, you know, through, like, 2025, if you will. They got it's a, you know, three-year, $121 million, you know, $40 million per year. You know, he's kind of, you know, in that kind of range of, you know, it's interesting how he's kind of in this, you know, puts him above, like, you know, Dak and Russell Wilson and right below Aaron Rodgers. But it's interesting. So what say you about this, Rob?
It's crazy.
Yeah, you know, at those numbers, obviously the Raiders wasn't confident enough to give him like a 5 or 6 year deal, right? It's a 3 year deal, but still it's at $40 million a year. And you just, you know, Derek Carr, should he be in that conversation making $40 million a year? But then when you look at the quarterbacks around the NFL, that put up similar numbers to him. That's the market value. You look at Kirk Cousins' contract, which is kind of somewhere in the same ballpark almost. It's just mind-boggling. You know, I know we sometimes look at these NBA contracts and be like, what? And you're starting to see a lot more of that in the NFL too. I mean, with the wide receiver contracts, but you just never would thought a guy like Derek Carr would be making $40 million a year. What has he done to get to that level from a quarterback contract standpoint? But it's just the way the market value is. It's just if you have a quarterback that's putting up those kind of numbers, which when you look at his numbers were solid. That's just the market value. That's the market value for the position. And the next thing is, what else are the Raiders going to do? but in one sense, it's a short deal, right? So they didn't go overboard. So, I think in one sense the Raiders did a smart thing. They didn't make it like a 5 or 6 or 7 year deal. Hey, we're going to give you a short deal. We're going to pay you a lot of money. But we're going to give you a short deal so you can still prove yourself to see if you're still our long-term answer. So I think they did what they had to do just to take care of the quarterback position. When you look at the value, it's something that they have to do. What else are they going to do? So it's really just the nature of the beast. But just to see Derek Carr getting that kind of money is just a head scratch, you know. It's just like, wow.
Yeah, but you look at it I don't know the exact numbers on him, but Derek Carr has a whole lot of fourth quarter comebacks on his resume at this point. And I'm not going to belabor the point you just made. He's got a good number of them. But the other part of it is you just made this big old trade, you know, for Davante Adams to come play with his homeboy, right? If you're going to invest that much money in getting Davante Adams to come play specifically with Carr, then he's like, yes. Everything has worked out roses for Carr. Like, I don't know what kind of Buddhist temple or what kind of rosary beads this dude has, but them getting Davante Adams, and you look at all these crazy quarterback numbers that have come before him, it's like you're only as good. It works best for you as being like that second or third quarterback coming through with the numbers that he's put up, right? Because you see these numbers go through the roof, and it's like, well, you got to pay me too because I'm the next guy in line. The next guy in line always gets a crazy contract. And the thing about it for me is it worries me because guess who's going to be next? It's going to be Joe Burrow. If he's looking around, he's saying, yes.
Or he's going to be
Taylor saying,
that, if Carr's getting $40 million, Joe Burrow's getting $60
million. Right. And Jamar Chase is like, yes. You know what I'm saying? So I love the young nucleus that I have. But these deals that are coming up, is the next person in line always benefits from those prior deals. And that's what's happened with Carr. And that's what happened with Burrow, and it happened with Chase, with Davante Adams and Tyreek Hill. It's just the evolution of it. And we talked about in the chat, you know, it was a dip slightly for COVID, but they're projecting that salary cap to go up like, you know, 30% over the next couple of years. So teams are saying, okay, we know it's going to go up. It might hit us right here, but in 2 years, it's going to just be in line with what we were doing in terms of, you know, quarterback market value versus the cap in 2019, 2020, 2021, well, in 2023, 2024, 2025, it's going up, but that cap is going up, so it stays in line to what we've already been paying quarterbacks. So, we look at it and we say, come on, man, not for Carr. But given what you have, if you have a quarterback and you believe in him and you want him to stay, and you went and got his favorite target that only wanted to come play with him, what else were the Raiders going to do?
What else can you do? Yep. What else can you do? From the Bengals standpoint, you better just hope that the Brown family spend the money unlike the Reds.
Yeah, man. You know,
the president of the Reds.
They might put the Saturday on fire. Because, I mean, they have to because they're next in line. Mm-hmm. And then they'll have the deal. And then the C.J. Strouds of the world will come in. If they have a good, you know, couple first years, then they benefit from it. So it's just it's just the evolution and the escalation of the quarterback market. Yep. The wide receiver piece up is really wild. I think that's going to kind of come back because there's so many wide receivers that are coming out now to where I think owners are going to start to play a little bit more hardball with the wide receiver position, right? But quarterbacks, that's never changing. I just don't see that happening. Unless you get another Tom Brady kind of dude, it's like, I want to spread the love so I can win 8 championships. Quarterbacks are going to get
all Mahomes get a $400 million deal a year or two ago? I mean,
escalators that can make it a half a billy, right? Like, mm-hmm. with the incentives, if he hits them, a half a billy. So, if you believe in that guy, you got to pay him.
Yep.
Speaking of quarterbacks, and I'm not a total fan of Colin Cowherd, but he had a great comment. He's like, you know, you've been dating somebody for 8 years and you don't know. What's the deal with Jordan Love and the Packers? So you have a situation here where, you know, obviously you've got this guy, you've been stringing along, and if not now, when? I mean, obviously you've, again, hitched your cart to the beloved Aaron Rodgers, if you will, but you got Jordan Love sitting there, and it's like, should he trade this guy? Should he get out? Are there, you know, some teams that, you know, that, hey, he's a second round pick for this guy, you know? I'm just saying, that's
nope.
kind of what, look, you both are shaking your head. I love it. I was reading Colin Cowherd. He was cracking me up. Look at JQ. Hell nah.
I'm going to tell you why you don't trade him right now. You spent the first round pick on him. And right now, if
there
you trade him, you're not going to get a first round pick for him. You're going to get a mid-round pick for a guy that's going to if Baker Mayfield doesn't have any trade value, there's no trade value for Jordan Love, right? So if you're Green Bay, you got to hold on to him like they held on to Aaron Rodgers and Brett Favre at quarterback. Aaron Rodgers is going to get old eventually, right? So if you're Green Bay, you spend the first-round pick on this kid, you hold on to him because, you know, like I said, you're not going to get a first-round pick in return for him right now because he hasn't proven anything. He hasn't done anything, right? So you're not going to get the value. And you drafted him as an eventual replacement. It didn't necessarily mean a year or two or three. It might be 4 years. It might be 5 years, right? Aaron Rodgers, if I'm not mistaken, he sat for four close to 5 years before he got the range from Brett Favre. And they spent almost the same area in the draft. They drafted Aaron Rodgers 24. I think Jordan Love, they drafted him a little bit after that, I believe, like 27
or something
like that.
Yep.
Yeah. So no, you don't. If you're Green Bay, if they're confident that he's their quarterback of the future, you hold on to him right now. You do not trade him because it'd be dumb for you to pick somebody in the first round and then trade him away for somebody for a third or fourth round pick, and you haven't done anything to show what he can do with the Packers just yet. It wouldn't make any sense.
You traded up to go get him. So you just didn't stand pat with your own pick. You gave away more capital. So when you say that in terms of being a first-round pick, you also have to attach the other capital you gave away to move up to go get that dude who's proven nothing yet. And I'm 100% with Rob. You might get a fourth-round pick, but let's think about it. Who else is trading for Jordan Love right now in terms of a quarterback-needy team? We're talking about, you know, Bryce Young and C.J. Stroud coming out next year. You're talking about everybody else already feeling like they filled their needs this year and the craziest quarterback offseason that we could ever remember. You're trading him at the lowest value possible. Colin Howard is just doing that, and I enjoy his show. I get it. But, you know, that's just clickbait and people to listen to it. Come on, man. You can't trade that dude right now. Again, Alex Smith as well with Patrick Mahomes. Like, Patrick Mahomes has been Alex Smith for a year and a half, 2 years, and look what he's turned into. It's okay for that dude to sit. We are such a instant gratification kind of society where if you don't have it right now, then it's not right. And that's not always the case. Yeah. And on top of that, think about it like this. If you're the Packers, it didn't turn out the way you wanted it to, and I get that. But you feel like Aaron Rodgers was out there poo-pooing and being stupid, and you said, well, we're going to get this quarterback. And what did he do? He responded with back-to-back MVP seasons. Like, you can't play Love right now. This dude has won back-to-back MVPs. Like, was that third-round pick or second-round pick you attached to move up to go get him? You feel like it's worth it if your quarterback just says, you know what, watch this. And he just went out and won back-to-back MVPs. And like I said, it didn't result in the Super Bowl, and that's always the ultimate goal. But if you wanted to light a fire under Aaron Rodgers, consider that third or fourth-round pick that you use to trade up as successful capital because you've had NFC Championship games at the house. Like I said, it didn't work out, But you put yourself in a position to be in the conversation year in, year out at this point. So, no, that's all well and good. But you're trading at your lowest value, possible value for Jordan Love. You let Jordan Love, you say, hey, bro, what, think about it logically. This dude just won back-to-back MVPs. Can you do that? Mm. No.
Nope. Yep.
So,
there it is.
Relax.
There it is. Yeah. We're on the same page. I was just messing with you guys for that, too. It was just interesting. But I'm going to use another example, too, from a different sport. And we'll talk about this, too, eventually if we get some time in, because the ex-GM for the Phoenix Suns is on Sports Talk, and he was talking about how at the time, whenever you just never know how people are going to develop, right? Because we're talking about the quick development of Anthony Edwards. I mean, you talk about that dude just came, just an amazing game, you know, versus the Timberwolves that came to play versus the Clippers, you know. Just why are you shaking your head, man? Patrick Beverly, what are you talking about?
But those dudes celebrate like they won the title. Did you see the celebration?
Yeah, I know, man.
That's
I know.
Crazy.
We're going to talk about that.
I think it was more Patrick Beverly for beating the Clippers, beating the team that traded.
Yeah, that's all it was.
I think that's what that was all
like,
about.
But
everybody else jumped into it, too.
Man.
They went nuts. I was like, man, you can't go that far on it. Like, this dude had a beer at the post-game conference, you know, at the post-game conference where he was asking questions to reporters. Like, bro, you brought out the beer for a play-in game win? Like, come on, man.
But
somebody
see,
should have said that. That's too far.
Who seriously picked the Timberwolves to beat the Clippers, though? I mean, I know they had that thing, but I'm just saying.
Oh,
you know,
I thought they would beat
like,
the Clippers last night. They had a better season than the Clippers.
You think so?
And nobody trusts Paul George, and I understand that. But you just, I mean, I guess I'm into the playoffs in a couple of years, but you still got to act like you've been there. Those dudes went nuts like they was going to get a title out of that shit.
We're going
to
talk
about to get their ass kicked by the Grizzlies. So
that's
going to
happen. But all I was saying with that, I was trying to make a point as far as the players, and you were talking about players that need time to wait and everything like that, because he was talking about how they drafted Devin Booker, you know, 2015, whatever, I think it's 2015, please correct me wrong, and they were like, yeah, he wasn't the player he is now is not the player that we drafted, you know. He's like, he was just an 18-year-old kid, young guy, you know, and, you know, he needed some time to develop and get to now he's the Devin Booker, you know. Now you're like, man, that dude is just a baller. So it just takes some time for people to develop is what we're trying to say, too, because sometimes it's not instant. Can you imagine giving up Devin Booker before he became who he was? You'd be like,
you're an asshole.
Sometimes players need time in any sport to develop, kind of hit their stride. Sometimes you hit, you know, like you said, Anthony Edwards, you know, you struck with him. You know, he's 21 years old, playing really well. I mean, that dude is obviously, you know, a baller. But like you said, you're still going to have some players that take some time. That's excellent, like you talked about with Aaron Rodgers. He had to sit, you know. Same thing with, you know, Patrick Mahomes. He had to sit. You know, Rob bringing it back to the NFL draft, you know, again, we talk about the ceiling for Malik Willis. I mean, I don't think he's probably got the highest upside of any quarterback in the draft, but he's not ready. He's got to sit, you know, and that's okay. Don't let that guy play. That's kind of the thing now. Do you get him, sit him, you know, little things like that, you know. If you are looking for a quarterback, you know, because that's what everyone's talking about the Falcons. They're like, well, you know, I don't want to tank because no one's going to say they're going to tank, you know, obviously, because you just can't say that. But what if you're too good to get a quarterback? What if you're too good that you're outside of the C.J. Stroud and the Bryce Young situation? So, you know, that's you can't play for next year either, but, you know,
you ain't got that worry.
Yeah. Well, I'm just saying, you know, I'm with you, but we are making – I'm not going to say we're going to be like dynamic, but I'm saying, you know, what if we get like 7 wins or 6 wins? We're kind of outside of that too, you know. So you never know, right? You looking at me, you don't think we win 7 games? You don't think so?
Fuck no. You think y'all win 7 games?
I don't know. We won what? You don't think so? Was that bad?
Sounds like
you're
in
a field. You think we can't win 7 games? You think we can't win 7 games?
No.
Okay.
No.
Okay. I don't know. Like I said, I'm just saying, if we win 7, we're right.
It's not a knock. You know? I've been there as a Bengals fan, but okay, so let's talk about it.
I know.
So,
let's
break it down. They got to play in the own division, so they probably lose both games to Tampa. Fair?
Fair enough.
Okay. They probably split with the Panthers, so that's one. I still think they struggle to beat the Saints for one game, but I'll give you that for the rivalry. That's two. They got to play the AFC North. So they got to play the Bengals, the Steelers, the Ravens, and the Browns. So depending on when you catch the Browns, it depends on Deshaun Watson play.
Fair enough.
So how many? So how many of those four do you think they win?
Well, probably
honestly, like no bullshit. So I'll give you one of those four.
Maybe the Browns. Right. Correct.
So that's three. But that was three out of four, six, seven, eight games.
Eight.
I don't know who the other division y'all play in the NFC. I want you to be for real about the season you're getting ready to have.
I'm real.
That's three out of ten games, actually. It's your division is six games. And it's four out of north.
So that's ten. So you got three out of ten. So you got to get four out of the other seven.
We're not sure about the Steelers either, who their quarterback's going to be, too. That's the iffy one, too. But I'm with you on that. But
the Steelers' defense on themselves can be the win.
Yeah.
And that's fair. I'll give you that one. Okay. I got you. All right.
So I'm just being honest. Like I want you to be for real about it. I feel like y'all can still get a quarterback in next year's draft. You know what I'm saying? Like,
okay.
I don't think Stroud and Bryce go 1-2. Like, if they do, they might. I don't think y'all are bad enough to be in the first or second pick. I'll give you that. But I don't think you'll be 11th to where you're just so far away from it that you have to move up to get use capital to go.
There's like three, like, you know, around.
I think it depends on who gets into,
you know. Yeah.
Both of those guys, looking at it right now, potentially could be top five picks in next year's draft, right? Both of those guys could potentially be top five picks. Yeah, I think it all is going to come down to what team falling at. You know, Jacksonville, for example, let's say Jacksonville has a slight improvement this year and goes 4-12. They might be the number four, number five pick. They probably still won't pick a quarterback because they still want to see what they have in Trevor Lawrence, right? I think it's going to come down to what teams get into that position.
Arizona.
Houston. Houston seems pretty sold on Davis Mills. I mean, they like
that. Not next year's draft.
Stop it.
And this year
is a prove a year for Tua. For Miami's bad, prove a year for them. But they did some really things too. But you don't know who's going to be bad, right? You know, and same thing with Seattle.
Our schedule will suck next year. The Bengals might not win seven games with the schedule we have next year. So I'm just looking at the schedule that you have to play. I don't feel like they're going to be necessarily outside of round. But Rob makes a fantastic point. Unless, you know, the people that have been bad. So you talking about maybe Detroit because of, you know, they you know, Jared Goff. No.
Yeah.
But Jacksonville definitely isn't going to get it. But he's right though, right? Like unless Seattle tanks, they might take a quarterback because, you know, Drew Locke may not be that guy. He probably isn't that guy. I just don't want you to get your hopes too high that you feel like you're going to be outside the realm being able to get one of those guys.
Too high like that. It's just, like I said, it's tough because everyone you project in the next year, you haven't even got to this year. You know, that's the thing, too. Like, most teams, they don't want to tank, obviously. Like, no one's going to tell you we're going to tank. You know, they're going to play and stuff like that, you know. And I think we've made some solid.
Right.
I mean, this year is going to be an interesting year, too. So I think we're going to do everything we can to strengthen this team, you know, build the depth of the lines, build some talent. And like you said, the next quarterback, and then even still next year, he's still not going to be ready. You know, you still have to, like, he may have to sit him for a year. That's the tough thing, you know. It's like, you don't want to put this dude in a situation where, okay, he's the guy, and then, you know, you see the success stories that we just talked about instead of sitting behind somebody. So, I don't know. That's interesting, at least. So
I agree.
I hear you.
Yeah.
I agree.
But
Andre, you make a good point there, too. You know, really you want to focus on this season, right? And seeing what you have, you know, I don't think any NFL team's going to come in there. You know, you know that. All 32 teams think they got a shot on day one, right? And so I think everybody's, you know, going into it, you know, with trying to see what they have this year. But I don't think you're going to – I don't think this is the quarterback draft where you're going to see teams go all out or trade up for a quarterback. There's some rumors that the Saints are looking to move up with those two first round picks. I still don't see that. And I see them standing pat and I just don't see a team going up to get one of these quarterbacks. Now if a quarterback falls to them or you trade back for one, I could see that possibly happen. I think Malik Willis is an intriguing talent that some team is obviously going to take a shot at in the first round. I think Matt Corral I think he's an intriguing talent that some teams will take a shot at. Now, if a team is looking for a guy that wants to play day one, Kenny Pickett is probably that guy. He's probably the one that's most ready. He may not have the most upside, but he may be the one guy that can come in and start, you know, day one for you, you know, if you will. And but I just don't see this draft being a team this year where teams just goes all out trying to move up for a quarterback. But next year, that's a different story. If Bryce Young and C.J. Stroud have big seasons again, they're going to be a hot conversation in the draft next year.
4-2. Here we go.
Oh, great.
Yep.
And don't forget
You're going to have another quarterback or two come out of nowhere. Joe Burrow, prior to his senior season, was a fifth and sixth round prospect, went all the way up to number one. How many of us were talking about Kenny Pickett and Malik Willis this time last year? None of us. they're two guys that came out of nowhere. So there's going to be another quarterback.
Trey Lance
three.
Came out of nowhere, too. Trey Lance came. Yeah. I mean, you heard about it, but you didn't realize how much of that jump he made, that he jumped that high. Obviously,
yeah, no, that San Francisco was going to trade all that ass to go get him. I agree.
You're right.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. You're right. So we're still good. I mean, like I said, and again, I do want you to think that I am even killed about certain things, too. Like, everyone just tries to shit on everything, too. I'm like, man, come on, man, give us. Like, we're not going to, like, tank the tank, you know, obviously, just depends on how everything plays out. Too, we're going to build some too.
No,
sure, so.
I don't think they're trying to tank. I just think that what's happening right now, I think Mariota gives you a chance with his scrambling ability, and if you get a wide receiver out of it, I just think that sometimes the schedule plays into it. And Tom Brady coming back has robbed you of two chances to get a win, right? If Tom Brady doesn't play for Tampa, I feel like y'all have a chance to beat Tampa in both those games. But Tom Brady's presence and then, you know, elevates everything else around him. So it's just the schedule and the way that things work out. That, listen, I've been to the game with you. I root for the Falcons to do well. I just look at the way it has shaken out for them right now.
Do you though? I'm just joking.
I do. I don't hate the Falcons. I root for the Falcons to do well. I just try to be honest about what I see. And it's like, I feel like, and Rob is right. Like, I was trying to sit, but I sat back. I was trying to think about other quarterbacks that we could spitball on right now in terms outside of the big two, right? In terms of who we thought could really jump up, and I was struggling to figure out who to come up with that could say, yeah, they would be a top 10 quarterback outside of those two. And maybe those two just take all the oxygen out of the room to where we don't think about anybody else. Well, Rob is right. You get a couple games into next college football season, and those guys start to percolate, and you're looking like, well, I mean, I don't have to have those two. You might get this third or fourth one who fits the bill for you. So,
it's entirely possible. Anthony Richardson.
Oh, JQ was rooting for the Falcons when I went to the game with him. So, yeah, he does cheer for the Falcons.
I do.
Versus the Saints.
He was cheerful when I went to the game with him.
See?
Fair enough. He had his Falcons gear on, too.
I'll give you.
I was telling my wife, look for a dude that's got some Ohio State paraphernalia. Sure enough, he had some Falcons gear.
I got to ask you guys later on if you think that Matt – Ryan's a Hall of Famer. That's a whole other question, man. That's a whole other, you know, we'll talk about it later, man. But, you know.
Hell no.
Everyone's acting like he's the greatest thing since sliced bread. It's like they're like they lost their puppy, and I'm like, what the hell? He's a great dude, but I'm just like, what the hell are we talking about?
The Hall of very good, but that's the Hall of Fame. Like, he's got the MVP, but, like, as a quarterback, it's a different standard. It's hard to make the Hall of Fame without at least one title. As a quarterback, if you want to really make it, you need to probably have two. Like Aaron Rodgers is dumb because he's got the four MVPs and all the yards and whatnot. But
and
a quarterback with no titles.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
I agree.
I don't see it. And if he does get it, he definitely is not a first ballot. You know, he may get years down the road. Yeah.
I'm not a fan, but you know, he's all right. You know, but everyone's like. He's like the greatest thing, and we lost the greatest quarterback in history. And I'm like, oh my god, you know, it's they land. I'm telling you, they land on a stick, man. You know, it's
homegrown fans always overevaluate their own talent, right? Like he's been in all this time.
I'm just telling.
I get what you're saying, but I mean, but there are a lot of fans that when you have somebody that you draft and you watch them grow, and you feel like you grow with that dude, you overevaluate his worth. And it's like it takes other people who don't
from experience,
feel that way.
JQ thought Andy Dalton had the best color
no,
hair.
No, the fuck
the
I did not.
See? You know, his hair matched the color of the red.
Hey, you know what he's saying? A lie don't care who tell it. A lie don't care who tell it.
Rob's line, too. Rob says that line all the time, too, so touche on that.
I know. He stole my line.
again, I appreciate you guys. No, like I said, the realism of everything is, too. I know we got about 4 minutes here left the show. We already talked enough about the Panthers. We'll talk a little bit, OT, about some stuff in the NBA, if you will, too. I just wanted to briefly talk about Stephen Gilmore going to the Colts. And, you know, interesting situation, too, because I think he's kind of looking for, you know, a contender, if you will. And just he kind of grew, you know, playing for the Patriots, you know, just getting coaching from Bill Belichick. You kind of see how certain people fit certain systems. So we'll see, you know, the Colts, you know, it's good to have a veteran corner, if you will, too. And, you know, they've got a pretty solid team. So, you know, I don't think it's a bad addition if you're in the Colts, if you will, if you're Stephen. So.
But if you're Stephen, why stay in the AFC? Like, why stay in the AFC? Like, if I got my picks, I don't know what my situation is like. So let me just first say that. Like, for the Colts, can they win the AFC South? Yes. But what can they do outside of winning the AFC South? Like, the Rams are talking about, pursuing him. I don't know the money details that the Rams are throwing at him. So I can't talk about another dude's pocketbooks. Yeah, he can make the playoffs with the Colts, but can the Colts come out the AFC? Anybody picking the Colts coming out the AFC? I just don't see that happening.
No, I agree with that. I think they could be a sleeper team. You know, if Matt Ryan, all he has to do with that team is be solid and not turn the ball over, because you got a strong running game. They got one of the best offensive lines in football. They could probably still use another weapon or two on the perimeter. I know Pittman came on strong for them this past year. Defensively, they're a very underrated football team. I agree with JQ ultimately. I don't think they're a Super Bowl contender, but I do think they can be a sleeper.
No one said they were Super Bowl contender. Yeah, for sure.
I actually think they're the favorites to win a division as of today. Now, we don't know what the rest of the offseason looks like with trades or draft and things of that nature. More free agency to come. But when you look at that division, is there something about Tennessee? I think they're overrated.
Ryan Tannehill. Just don't say it's something about Tennessee. It's Ryan Tannehill. Don't trust his ass. Just go ahead and say it out loud. It's Ryan Tannehill. It's okay. It's okay to say it out loud.
But then again, you know, they got Derek, you know, I mean, Tennessee was practically the coach last year. They had what was the running back for had a great season last year.
Oh, Jonathan Taylor.
From Wisconsin. Yeah, Jonathan Taylor. I mean, ultimately, fitting image of the Titans. Strong running game, average quarterback, good offensive line, good defense. Yeah, you know. Who would
but
you rather have?
Number one wide receiver. Because you take A.J. Brown over Pittman every day of the week.
Absolutely.
True.
That's a good point. True. Yeah, that could be the difference. You know, Derrick Henry missed some games last year, but Tennessee was still winning. They were beating average teams by 1 and 2 points. And and they wound up getting the number one seed. But I thought they were overrated. And we saw that in the playoff. They were going round one. So I definitely think the Colts has a shot to overtake them in that division.
Yeah.
Ladies and gentlemen, you recognize that music that ends the live portion of our show. Hopefully you enjoyed it. The draft conversation, NFL conversation, draft 2 weeks away. I think next week we should be back to our normal night of Tuesday, night of next week. Unless one of us has something going on, we'll keep you posted. It'll be 11 p.m. Eastern time on the East Coast. Philadelphia, y'all in trouble. Y'all in trouble against Toronto Raptors. James Harden, man, not playing no defense, not showing up. You know, come on, y'all, holla at us, East Coast. Holla at us, Philly. I know we're making you mad, but they're in trouble right now. And Chicago,
damn.
10 o'clock Central, y'all in trouble too. Lonzo Ball, Pelicans starting to look smart, man. Why not re-sign them last year? Lonzo Ball out. Bulls, you know, holla at us, Chicago, 10 o'clock Central on Tuesday night. Albuquerque,
this guy.
You know, JQ waiting to hear from y'all. He won his invitation to the
Blues. No, the hell he ain't.
9 p.m.
No, he ain't.
9 p.m. 9 p.m., Albuquerque. In Hollywood. We're going to be at you at 8 o'clock next week on Tuesday night. Hollywood. Tune in, Hollywood. Good night, people.
I wish I would stop pussyfooting around and just call these quarterbacks out like I do. You know Ryan Tannehill is the reason why you can't go with the Titans. Just go ahead and say it out loud. It's okay. You suck. It is what it is. Hey, I appreciate y'all for tuning in tonight. We're on top next week. Hey, man, you know what it is. Anytime anybody hems and hauls about a team, 9 out of 10 times you hem and haul about a team. Why? Because of their quarterback. And nobody trusts Ryan Tannehill to go do anything in the playoffs for multiple games in a row. And it's not that we don't feel that way about Matt Ryan, but it's like, to your point, will he ever be favored with that Colts team as constructed against the Bills, against the Chiefs? I think you might come and argue yourself against the Bengals because they'll still view the Bengals as always being the Bengals. They're going to have to take a step back. But people are always going to elevate at this point Patrick Mahomes. They've elevated Josh Allen, right? So you're saying if he has to go in there and if they don't get that one seed, then he has to go to Buffalo and to the Chiefs for the divisional game and the championship game. If you're Matt Ryan with that Colts team, who bets on that? Right? Nobody. And nobody bets the same thing. Nobody bets on Ryan Tannehill with that team against those two teams. So you have to view it as those prisoners. We haven't talked about all those other fools out in the AFC West, right? So it's just one of those things we talk about, the Gilmores and other pieces. I don't understand the fixation right now with the AFC. Like, go that way. That is a cleaner path to where you want to get to than having to deal with that gauntlet that the AFC is going to be for the next couple of years.
Don't be surprised if Tennessee drafts a quarterback early in this draft. First, second round. I mean, that early in the draft. I mean, there's a lot of rumblings about them looking for somebody to come in and push Tannehill or challenge him or even take the job from him. So there's a lot of rumblings in Tennessee in regard to that. So don't be surprised if the right quarterback falls to them. Even in a few of my mocks, I haven't taken a wide receiver right now in the first round, but I've had a couple of mocks where I had a quarterback going to him in that first round. So, I mean, don't be surprised if that happens with the Tennessee Titans. You never know. And speaking of
you
Hollywood,
got a wide receiver playing quarterback.
Yeah. Our Pelicans are going to Hollywood on Friday night. Hopefully we can get a win so we can get our ass kicked by the Suns in the playoffs.
Lucas is an honest fan.
I think the Hawks are going to go to Cleveland to win. Cleveland's heading in the wrong direction right now. I think the Hawks are going to win.
Too.
And I think the Hawks pushed the Heat in the first round, too. I don't think they beat them.
Easy.
I think the Hawks will win two games in that series.
Shit me. Gentlemen, sweet. Five.
Five games? All right. I think the Hawks have been playing good ball here the last few weeks of the regular season.
I'm not saying that, but they got to play against that Miami defense with them boys getting healthy again. It's not a knock on the Hawks. They just don't have enough right now. They got a whole bunch of role players and one superstar. And it's just not enough right now.
Back.
But he
I like
ain't that
what
dude.
I saw DeAndre Hunter tonight. He really played well on both ends of the floor for the Hawks. And they didn't have him in the playoffs last year. But, I don't see them. I think the Hawks go to Cleveland to win. I don't think they'll beat the Miami Heat. I think the Hawks will go to Cleveland and win. But I don't think they can win the series against the Heat. But they
Great.
Might have a chance to win two games. Yeah, but I don't see them winning that series. Yeah.
They might lose four of those games by less than 10 points, but they're still going to lose them, bitches.
Andre,
that's
man.
Just saying.
Andre's like, man, talking about my Falcons, now you talking about my Hawks.
I like Trey, but he don't have – John Collins isn't that dude. We've talked about it for 3 years. John Collins is in that ether. You know who he is? He's Julius Randle. Julius Randle went out there and balled his ass off for the Knicks last year. They were like, Julius Randle. Yep. Where the Knicks at this year? Because Julius Randle was your number one. I don't feel like John Collins is the number two. He's a great number three.
I don't like John Collins. I don't like John Collins at all. I don't. See?
But he's your second best player, and you can't depend on him, especially against the Heat. No. Mm-mm. I like Trey. I love Ice Trey. Don't get me wrong, but
he's
band of role players.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. No, you're saying good stuff. I mean, like I said, it's tough. Before you jumped on, I was telling this to Rob. I was like, say what you want about Ben Simmons, but I still think that's the type of dude that you need to prepare with Trey. Like somebody that had, that could, defense. You still need defense.
No.
Bro. I'm just telling you. Yes.
Ben Simmons ain't helping.
You
got
to want somebody
right
that wants to play basketball. Ben Simmons wants to be a celebrity. I'm not convinced that Ben Simmons likes to play basketball.
I can give you that.
Yeah, he wanted to have a fashion statement. Y'all saw that outfit he had on the other night?
Yeah, he just wanted to get paid to be out there. I'm not convinced that Ben likes what comes with basketball, what he gives him. I'm not convinced that Ben loves the rigors of getting up at 6 a.m. to go practice to make his craft better. I'm not convinced that's who Ben is. I hope he proves me wrong. Yeah. He has all the talent. Don't get me wrong. I just don't feel like he has that motor and that drive.
His shot hasn't improved. And how many years has he been in the NBA? 6, 7 years?
And ain't never going to improve.
His shot has not improved one bit. From the free throw line, the three-point line. I mean, the dude would throw.
JQ's giving me
air balls.
JQ's giving me
doses
of truth tonight.
It's all of it. I told you about this. If you want to be great, right, and you know you have a deficiency,
thanks, Rob.
You have an NBA facility. You can call the assistant equipment manager, any one of those dudes to come open the gym up, and they will rebound for you as long as you want to shoot. It's on you to hit them up and say, hey, meet me at the arena at 6 a.m., 7 p.m., whatever time you're talking about doing, because you know what? If you get a ring or you make the thing, everybody knows, and the people inside the organization are going to be like, you know what? Andre was there to open the door with Ben. He rebounded for Ben for 2 hours every freaking day that Ben wanted to go shoot around. That's on Ben to want to do that. If you're not calling people up to go master your craft, then you don't really love it like that. The same way Jordan J's hard and fat ass can't get into shape. He likes to party. He likes the money. He likes to be able to do what he can do, but he wants to do it being 25 pounds overweight. And you see his ass flame out in every playoff. Like, at some point, you have to look at that and say, what am I doing to make it better? I have access to first-class facilities and amenities, people that will come, do everything I ask to do if I wanted to have it done. You got to put it on the dude. Philadelphia is in major trouble. Toronto might win that series 4-2.
And then Philly's best defensive player, Matisse Thybulle, not vaccinated.
Can't play in Toronto.
He can't even play in Toronto. And, I mean, that hurts.
Bullshit, man.
James Harden can't guard a statue. And Toronto Raptors, man, almost everybody in their starting lineup got a wingspan of like 7'7", 7'7".
Right.
Their arms draping the floor when they run the court, man. Pascal Siakam,
Toronto,
Scottie Barnes.
Toronto won the regular season series against Philadelphia.
3-1. Yep, 3-1. Yep.
3-1.
And the Sixers have always been one of my favorite teams, but they're in trouble. they are in trouble. James Harden looked like he's lost a step of five. So he is – he doesn't look like he's the same player. And he's never been a good defender. And now you
never
lose
been.
Your best
yeah.
defender, Matisse Thybulle. So that really hurts. The only way I think the Sixers have any shot of winning this series, obviously Joel Embiid has got to be
incredible,
right? But also Maxey. And not only Maxey, they got to get more out of Tobias Harris. And, he's supposed to be the third best player on their team. And they got to get more out of those guys if they're going to have any shot. But losing Thybulle, that really hurts him. He's the best defender.
That's very big.
Even when he came in fantasy basketball, he's the guy that got me the steals category alone every week. I mean, it was hard. He would get 3 to 4 steals every night. So, I mean, to lose him, Sixers will have to win at home or they're going to have any chance because I don't think they can win without Thybulle.
The problem is that Tobias Harris was used to being the sidekick, and now he's been kicked to the third sidekick, and he has not found the way to find his groove in the Embiid Harden paradigm, right? And that's the biggest problem. He has all the talent, but trying to make him Kevin Love, right, as the third wing of that just doesn't work for him. That's not what he does best. So I agree with you. I'm with you. So before we get off here, a lot of pundits I've been watching are really having a hard time with this Nets-Celtics series. I just want to know what y'all think about it. Then I got to go to bed because I got to get up and work, and then I got to work another baseball game tomorrow.
I got early, not as early as this morning, but I have another early day tomorrow myself.
Nets-Celtics, man.
I think that Nets team is scary. Kyrie and Kevin Durant is flat-out scary. But, I went to bed a little early last night, but I did watch that game through the first three quarters. And even though the Nets had quite a lead. It looked like the Cavs made a little run though in that game in the fourth quarter. But looking at that game, the Cavs missed a lot of open shots. And, you know, the Nets defense is still nowhere near where it needs to be. And that's the one thing that concerns me about the Nets. And you're not going to stop Durant and Irving. I mean, you can forget it. You're not going to stop them. But I think the Celtics are capable of slowing them down a little bit. The Celtics defense is one of the best in the league. Marcus Smart has been one of the best defensive guards in the league. Brown and Tatum has been incredible. And it looks like they may be getting Robert Williams back too. And we all know how well he's been playing on defense. I think it's going to be a heck of a first-round series. It's going to be a heck of a first-round series. But on the surface, the Nets are scary, but I have to lean a little bit more on the consistency with the Celtics. Even if Ben Simmons comes back, you know, how effective is he going to be, right? So I on the surface, I have to say the Celtics in six games right now.
Ooh, you're going to take them in six? Okay. What about you, Dre?
Yeah, it's tough, man, because I can see where Rob is coming from, too, because, you know, obviously Durant and Irving, they're going to get theirs. But I just like the Celtics being a steady team. You know, again, it almost feels like a pick 'em, you know, certain things, too, because you just don't know, like, what's going to happen, what Nets team is going to show up, because Kevin Durant can have one of these nights where he just goes nuts, you know, just for the whole series, and that's what you have to look out for, too. You know, and I don't know if there's it's tough. It's, I mean, Jason, it's match, but he's not going to match Durant, you know, from that perspective, too. So it's more of a balanced squad, if you will.
He could, because that Nets defense is terrible.
He could.
He definitely could.
He could, but what I'm saying is, like, you have to play out of your mind, like, Giannis, you got to play for, like, you know, more than one. You know, you can have one or two games, like, I'm going nuts, but 60-point here, you have to just go nuts, you know, and Kevin Durant and Kyrie can do that too. So that's why I can see what Rob is saying too. It's like, man, but the consistency of the Celtics, you know, they're going to score. They got a better defense. So it's like, you know, I can let Kyrie and Durant get theirs. They can't be on fire all the time, but we got enough, you know what I'm saying? They can, but it's like defense, man. So that's why I'm kind of leaning toward the Celtics too.
I hate to say that,
it's tough. Until you've done it, you know, like I said, I know what you're saying. Until you've done it, you have to, like, prove it. That's how you're going to always
say
it.
Well, no.
You know?
No, because the Nets haven't done it. You've seen Kevin Durant and Kyrie Irving do it in other places separately with other teams. We have not seen those two get it done together yet. So I get that, but I feel like
and he was hurt last year.
You're asking Jason Tatum and Jaylen Brown to make an ascension in this series against those two. If they beat those two, Jaylen Brown and Jason Tatum will put themselves on the map and then put all the pressure on themselves moving forward, saying that we just did this, can they keep that up? I just have a hard time betting against KD and Kyrie. I feel like they're in a good space, and this is not happening. I'm making this prediction without any semblance of Ben Simmons. I think trying to incorporate Ben Simmons in that series against Boston will hurt them more than it would help them, because it would mess up their rotations. I really feel like I wonder what Seth Curry's ankles feels like, because that dude getting those open three-pointers, people forget, like, he ain't his brother, but that dude can still shoot that rock. And if you got to pay KD and Kyrie a whole lot of attention, if that dude gets warm from the outside and he actually plays pretty good defense, he does, as a team, the Nets suck defensively. I think it goes seven, but I feel like those two dudes, Kyrie and KD, were like, just let us in. If we get in this thing, given everything that has happened, everybody has talked about how I suck as a person, Kevin Durant, Kyrie being selfish for not getting vaccinated, half man, half the season, like hearing all those things go on. Like, I feel like if you get them in the show, that they're going to be like,
you know what?
It's time for us to show why we decided to be together. I feel like it goes to distance, though. I really do. And I feel like it only goes to distance because the Nets defense is absolutely horrible. And I feel like Tatum can get what he wants. But I just can't pick against KD and Kyrie. I can't do it. Because those dudes might
that's
go for 75
damn
points
like
a piece. I hate the Celtics. It's not that. But I've told you plenty of years, that I love Jaylen Brown and Jason Tatum as a pairing, and I wanted to see how it could work because I feel like both of those dudes have different skill sets. They just are built similarly, but they have different skill sets. If they could find a way to make it work, they would be a whole problem. And I've been saying that for a couple of years. So I hate the Celtics as an organization. You know I do. But I just have a hard time with picking against KD and Kyrie. With those two dudes can go for 75, 77 points apiece, and then you only asking eight other dudes to get you 40 points over 48 minutes, right? Like, I get that Marcus Smart is fantastic, but Kyrie Irving with his ability to finish with both hands at the basket, mid-range shot, three-point shot, like he's a tough guard. Like, Marcus Smart's really good. Yeah, but with both hands, like he's one of the few six-foot guards that gets to the rim. He's like, there's no way that goes in, and it goes in, and then it goes in again, and then it goes in again. He's got the spin and the angle. She's like, damn. Uncle Drew is out there cooking, and then you focus on him, and then Kevin Durant, 7 foot ass, comes down there and just buries a 28 footer in your face and calls you too small and goes back to the other end. Like,
yeah, you're right.
Yeah, I mean they're scary. Yeah. They're a team that nobody wanted to see in the playoffs. I mean, I even think the Bucks may have lost on purpose just so they can fall to number three and at the end of the regular season. So they. if that's the case, I lost a little bit of respect for him. But,
whatever, you better get a better draw. We talk about a 7-2 series as a pick-em. When's the last time we talked about a 7-2 series as a pick-em?
Yeah. I kind of look at this a little bit like the Suns and the Lakers last year in the playoffs. The Suns were a 2-seed. The Lakers were a 7-seed. And everybody was like, nobody wants to face the Lakers, right? Because you still got LeBron. You still got AD. Obviously AD got hurt in that series. But I kind of look at that very similar. I think this Nets team is a little bit more scarier than the Lakers team was last year. But it just doesn't seem like they've had the opportunity to just kind of mesh everything together. And I didn't get to see the full quarter of the game last night, but the first three quarters that I saw, it's all Irving and Durant. It's like the role players didn't even come up for the Nets, and the role players are even worse when they go on the road, right? And that kind of concerns you. I don't think Irving and Durant is going to have numbers. There's no doubt about it. But their numbers is not going to be as good every night as they were against Cleveland last night against the Celtics. With the way the Celtics play defense. So I do think they have an opportunity to be real competitive. And like I said, the Nets team is real. You got two superstars like that, they're going to be scary. Yeah, but I just think the Celtics are one of those teams that Celtics is playing as good a ball as anybody in the NBA here over the last month. I mean, they have just been outstanding. So I just think the chemistry might be a little bit too much for the Nets to be able to overcome.
I can't say I disagree with it. I'm not saying you're wrong. That's what's wild about it. That's why I want to hear what you want to say about it. That's what's wild about it. It's a 7-2 series where we just like, and it's like, what's the last time? I get you. But this is not a year. Last year was year 18 for LeBron, right? So this is not a year 18 for KD and a year 16 for Kyrie. Like I get that what you're saying about the comparison, but you still got these two dudes, still in their prime. If KD didn't get hurt and Kyrie would get vaccinated, there's no way they're a seventh seed, even with their defensive deficiencies. So I mean that's what's wild about it. It's like
I agree with you.
I want to hold this on here. I just want to. It's one of the most intriguing series in the first round, and it was like I couldn't let us get off the phone and not talk about it.
It's the most intriguing series in the first round, East or West. It's the most intriguing series. It's going to be the most talked about series. And you talk about historic franchise in the Celtics, and then you talk about two superstars in Durant and Kyrie Irving, two big markets. And New York and Boston. So, I mean, it's going to be the most intriguing series here in the first round. I don't think there's a series in the Western Conference that will be as intriguing. There's not another series in the Eastern Conference that'll be as intriguing. This will be the most intriguing first round matchup and the most watched series in the NBA.
Yeah.
And they're so close. So you don't have that whole travel thing, right? Where, well, they had to travel from here and here and the players are tired. Like, if they catch on a plane, it's a 35-minute plane flight at most. Mm-hmm. They probably may be busting and luxury buses, and it's still, what, 3 or 4 hours? Mm-hmm. So you take all those other excuses out of the way, right? You know, like we're healthy, we're playing each other, we got short travel distance, we all in our same backyards. I can't wait.
Mm-hmm. Yep. It's going to be the most watched series. There's no doubt about it.
Yep.
Yeah.
I would like to know the storyline you're looking for.
Yeah.
Like you said, I go either way. I can go the same way with you, too. It's like a pick 'em. I can go either way. What you said, I can be like,
yeah. I agree with that.
Or, you know, so it's just like it's not really – put a gun in my head. I'm like, I guess, you know, I don't know, but it'd be a tough call,
and then,
you know, for sure.
The Nets were the number one seed prior to Kevin Durant getting hurt. So, I mean, that is, you make a valid point there. They were the number one seed, and that was Kyrie still playing half the season.
Half a season.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. There it is. All right, gentlemen, I know you got to roll some of that too, but appreciate the talk, man. It's always a pleasure. Just shout out to Curtis and Gary Hipsel. They're doing good. Gary just had too many margaritas. I thought he was joking, but maybe he was serious, man. So,
He's serious. He's lit.
Dead serious.
He definitely is lit, man. So he's over here talking.
Think about it. That dude just drove cross country. He finally made it. I would have got lit too. That's gotta be a long ass drive. You finally get to where you want to be. He said, "We're gonna go all the way in tonight," and he did it. So shout out to Gary.
Come on, JQ. You get lit every night, man. Come on.
Hey.
Gentlemen, have a good rest of your week. We'll keep the text messages going and flying. I'm sure there's going to be some interesting stuff that's happening. We can't wait to that series, too. We'll talk soon for sure, okay?
All right, y'all.
Good night, people.